welcome as we gather and worship the Lord on this beautiful day. I could go through winter like this. What about you? My wife and I went on a bus trip with the Golden Threads out of the Fremont Hospital Wednesday. It was not a picture-perfect day as we were riding around on the farm at Walnut Creek, where we were able to feed the animals, but then it was cold, and it was drizzling, and then it started sleeting, and so that just was not fun at all. But good to be here, good to be with you on this October Sunday. Would you join me for prayer as we get started? Father, we thank you so much for this gathering of your people. And Lord, I know that so many things are happening in our lives that, Father, can distract us. The fact that, Father, we resisted the temptation to go elsewhere and do other things. We're here, Father, and your word says that where two or three are gathered in your name, that the reality of your presence would be felt by each and all of us who love you. Father, we commit this service and we commit ourselves to you. Lord, speak to hearts. Do what only you can do, because you are God and there is no other. We thank you for this day in Jesus' name. And all of God's kids said, amen. Thank you. for prayer as I give my sermon and our time ahead to the Lord. Father, thank you for this time to gather around your word, Lord. We're going to enjoy a nice potluck after this service, but Lord, now we're going to feast on your word. It is your book, it is your product, and so Lord, if we're going to understand anything, it's because you are opening our spiritual eyes to understand what the word is saying to each of us this day. Be with me, Lord, as your servant. Help me, Lord, to be able to speak coherently and with a holy boldness that can only come from you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, many believers today have great resources that we can access. We live in a blessed country. When you think about the translations of the Bible that are at our access, when you think about the commentaries and all the good books written by fantastic men and women of God, we are so blessed. And yet, many believers with their problems, one thing they're not being told is that Jesus is sufficient for every problem in life that you and I face, that we are to lay hold of him through faith and prayer. Instead, there are a lot of resources out there that are directing us to all sorts of worldly techniques, therapies, and programs where Jesus is mentioned, but he's not the core of the program. When you Google Christian self-help books, it is amazing what you can find out there and read. And now I cannot verify all of them being good or not. I would have to go through them and look at the author and look at their value systems. So I can't speak to the value of all the resources that are out there, but I know this. Jesus is enough for whatever you're facing. And so we get that from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. We read this: "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God." That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So in Jesus, you have the complete package. You have everything. He is your Savior. He is your sanctifier. He heals, and he is our coming King. And then in Colossians 1:29, the Apostle Paul wrote, "To this end I labor, striving," here's the key, "according to his working, which works in me mightily." As priests unto our God, there's the two things that we can do to help others. The two best things would be, one, to share. Elisha was a man of God. Now, don't get him confused with Elijah. Elijah came first, and then Elisha took over the prophetic ministry from him. So if you have access to a Pew Bible, would you turn to page 367, and you can follow along with me as I read the Word of God. Page 367. We're going to be in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, and we're going to see something that happened in Elisha's life where he definitely showed his faith as a man of God. Page 367, starting with verse number 8. "Once, when the king of Assyria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, 'At such and such a place shall be my camp.' But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going to be down there.' And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. Thus he used to warn him, so that he saved himself there more than once or twice." Verse 11, "And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel?' And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.' And he said, 'Go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him.' It was told him, 'Behold, he is in Dothan.' So he sent there horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city.
When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Please strike this people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness in accordance to the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man whom you seek." And he led them to Samaria. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha said, "O Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." So the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. As soon as the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, shall I strike them down? Shall I strike them down?" He answered, "You shall not strike them down. Would you strike down those whom you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." So he prepared for them a great feast. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. And the Syrians did not come again on raids into the land of Israel. Today I'd like to talk to you.
Batteries.
My battery went dead. Story of my life. Day late, dollar short.
The other mic is working.
Huh? This one's working. Okay. My tech man back there is helping me out. All right. Thank you, Herm. So I want to talk about Jesus is all-sufficient resource for you and I in any trial that we may face. So my first point, if you have the handout and you want to follow along, I leave just a few blanks. So if you don't mind, that's the teacher in me. Leave a few blanks for the students to fill in. Jesus is our all-sufficient resource in times of trouble. Well, how can this be? Well, we have to look beyond ourselves, beyond our friends. We have to look to God. And we learn there's three things in relation to God and us. First of all, our God is omniscient. That means all-knowing. God knew what the Syrian king was planning to do, and he revealed it to his servant Elisha, who conveyed it to the king of Israel. Elisha did not support corrupt kings of Israel, but the prophet knew that it would be worse for Israel to be conquered by a Gentile nation. So Elisha told King Jehoram. It took intelligent experts 2,500 years to figure out how to bug a room. And yet, here intelligence was being given to the opposing king. Nothing is hidden from God. Secondly, we talk about our God is omnipotent. That means all-powerful. God not only knows the future and how to solve our problems, but he has unlimited power in dealing with them. Is your problem as big as an invading army surrounding to capture you? I don't think so. And then that leads to point C. Our God protects his own according to his will. You know, one of the things that I know that we try to do is, and maybe you have to kind of admire the Amish people. They trust God, and in a lot of ways, they don't fret and worry, and like sometimes we do. We somehow think that we can control the environment and we can stop something and prevent something. I remember years ago when I went on blood cholesterol medicine. There we go. That. I was talking to a gentleman in my former church about how, yeah, the doctor said, well, if I do this and I do that, I'll live longer. And his question was, will you? You know, the Bible says God knows the days of our life. He knows our Birth, he knows our exit strategy. Will you prolong it, will you improve the quality of your life, the days that you already have assigned for you? And that made me think, because so often we think that our destiny is in our control. And that is not the case. You and I will live in this life as long as God has purpose for us here. I've already shared about the accident that I was in that almost took my daughter and I out. And then when I was there to find out that a year prior I had had a heart attack, didn't realize it. You know, I'm not the Energizer Bunny, but the fact is, I understand that we will live as long as God has purpose for us. So God protects us according to his will for our lives. If you belong to God, you can trust him to protect you until the moment that it's time for him to call you home to be with him. I love Psalm 91:11 because it reminds us of the heavenly charge that is over us. Psalm 91:11, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways." Angels serve the Lord, and angels work on our behalf as well. Even though you and I may never see an angel present with us, they are very much real. Theologian Morgan wrote, "Faith is never the imagining of unreal things. It is the grip of things which cannot be demonstrated to the senses, but which are very real. The chariots of horses and fire were actually there." So you might be saying, okay, well, how can I not panic when trouble comes? We pray, which leads me to my second point. Prayer is the way to peace when trials come. The Apostle Paul, this is what he wrote when he was in prison. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Prayer replaces panic with biblical wisdom when dealing with trouble. Prayer replaces panic with biblical wisdom when dealing with trouble. There is an obvious contrast between Elisha and his servant. The servant is panicking when he sees the enemy army surrounding the city, knowing they're coming for his master. And yet, when Elisha is told about this invading army, what does he say? "Greater are those who are with us than the invading army." You know, on a previous occasion, Elisha was being taunted by some young men. You read about it in 2 Kings 2. It says there in 2 Kings 2, verse 23, that Elisha went up from there to Bethel, and as he was going up the road, some youth came from the city and mocked him and said to him, now they're saying this to the prophet, "Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head." Can you not hear it today, the way some of our young people talk to their older people? So he turned around, this is Elisha, to those young men, and he pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youth. Wow. But Elisha didn't do that here. He could have called that heavenly fire power to destroy this army of soldiers that was there to capture him. So we get to 2 Kings 5, and we find out that Elisha actually had contact with the commander of one of those Syrian units, Naaman. You read about that in 2 Kings 5. Naaman was a Gentile stricken with leprosy, and an Israelite slave girl in his house said, "What you need to do is you need to go to find the prophet Elisha." So he did. And you read how he was rather arrogant because he was told to go dip in the Jordan River. And he refused at first, but then he finally gave in. He was humbled, he was healed, and he had an encounter with the real God of the universe. Proverbs 1 talks about, cautions us in two ways. If we neglect to receive wisdom during the calm times, we will not have it when calamity strikes. There are so many times when I study and I read Bible verses, and I wonder, Lord, why are you keep directing me to these certain passages? These certain verses, they don't apply to my situation. But as I said last week, God knows our tomorrows. He knows what we face around the corner. So if we neglect to receive that wisdom that he's showing us in the calm times, studying your Bible, taking to heart what it's saying, then when calamity strikes, we're not going to know what to do with it. And the second caution is, if we don't act on what we know, it won't do us any good. Prayer opens our eyes to spiritual reality. Elisha comforted his servant by just simply saying, you know, don't be afraid, for those who are with us are greater than these soldiers that are going to try to take us. And then Elisha prayed a simple prayer, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. Prayer makes possible what is humanly impossible. The enemy soldiers thought it was an easy mission to capture an unarmed prophet. No problem, they thought. But then Elisha's prayer on their behalf was very simple. Strike them, please strike them with blindness. These proud soldiers were humbled into groping after the prophet. And then you love the humor where he's like, hey, I know who you're looking for. They're all blinded. Follow me and I will take you to the person whom you seek. And so they were blinded. They had no ability to know where they were at, where they were going. So they followed Elisha and he led them 11 miles right to the capital city of Israel, Samaria. And then while they're in the city, he prays, Lord, open their eyes that they may see. And this brings me to my final point. It is God who opens eyes. Jehoram asked what he should do with them. Should I get them, kill them? Because obviously they are enemy soldiers, and he had every right to have them killed because they were terrorizing the people of Israel. An eye for an eye, as punishment for them, would have been fit for that crime. But Elisha forbids it. They were not prisoners of war. They were Elisha's guest. He tells the king of Israel to feed them bread and water. And Jehoram goes a step further. He actually prepared a feast for these enemy soldiers. You know, in Middle Eastern culture, meals are events of reconciliation. Jehoram understood this, and he obeyed the prophet's request. After this banquet, the enemy soldiers were sent home. Elisha prayed for open eyes. He did for his servant. He prayed for these enemy soldiers that they be blinded and then that they be allowed to see again. You know, Jesus comes into history to reverse the trouble that Adam brought into this world on his descendants because of his sin. And that's the thing that you and I have to realize when we think about friends that we have or loved ones that we have. I have family that just do not understand why I love Jesus so, why church is so important. What's the big deal about communion? Because their eyes spiritually are not open to it. And that's why we have to pray for them. Because think about it, for many of us, before you gave your heart to Christ, what did you think about Christian people? What did you think about going to church? You know, why do you do that all the time? You didn't realize it. We pray for open eyes. In John 9:39, Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, and that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind. In Jesus, our blind eyes are opened to God's mercy. And in this count, mercy was demonstrated in that meal. Think about it. These enemy soldiers, they could have easily been executed for what they've been doing, and yet they were shown mercy. Just like many of us were shown mercy when we came to faith in Christ. You know, that's how one becomes a believer. It's not by birth. It's not by earning it. It is simply by realizing that as sinners without hope, Jesus came into our world to be the sacrifice of God. And that by placing our faith in him, we can have the hope of not only salvation in this life, but eternity with him. While we were still sinners, Christ made a meal for us in the Last Supper, a meal of his own body and his own blood. And that's why Jesus could say from the cross when they were yelling things at him, you know, you claim to be God, save yourself, and all kinds of vile things. And in love, what did Jesus say back to them when they were screaming those things at him? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're saying. Open their eyes that they may see. And that's the same that we pray for loved ones that we and friends that we have. Lord, open their eyes that they can understand and believe. That's mercy. And true salvation comes to anyone. Jesus is very inclusive in that all who come unto him can be saved. But he's also seclusive in the fact that only through him can you come. God graciously sets before his people a banquet table provided freely in Jesus Christ. And so the Bible declares in Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. And my prayer for us, as it was for Elisha's servant, is, O Lord, please open our eyes that we may see. Nathan's going to come up for our closing.
Okay, so since it's Pastor Appreciation Month, since we're doing the Pastor Appreciation Potluck this morning, I thought it seemed appropriate to lay hands on Lamar and pray over him as Scripture says, as our new pastor, as our new leader. I want to just read from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, it says, I charge you, I'll read this to Pastor Lamar, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. I will say, if you haven't stood up here behind a pulpit and done pastoral ministry, there are a lot of people who think it's a very easy thing to do. It is. The physical toll may not be much, but the spiritual and emotional toll can be very heavy. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord brought Pastor Baker and Mrs. Baker here. Everything is, God does everything in His season, and this is the season this church is in. I was here for a season. I'm thrilled to be sitting there now and be under Pastor Baker. So I'm going to ask leadership, if leadership would come forward, and if Pastor and Mrs. Baker would come forward, and we'll lay hands and pray over him, and then we will, during that time, and we'll have leadership come up, and honestly, if everyone wants to come forward, we can all pray, and then we will, I'll pray for the meal, and we'll go down and enjoy a meal together. Yeah. And if you folks want to come up too, if anyone else wants to come up, that's fine. Maybe we should separate Nate and Pastor, but
waiting for this time for a long time.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for your provision for your church. Father, we're thankful that this is a place where your word is preached. This is not a place for appeasing itching ears. Father, I thank you that you did bring Pastor and Mrs. Baker in the perfect timing, in your perfect timing, and in this church's perfect timing. Lord, I pray that you just continue to bless this church. Lord, I pray that you bless Pastor and Mrs. Baker in this ministry. Lord, we thank you and praise you, and as always, all the rewards and the fruit of this ministry you will receive the glory of. Lord, I also, as we come together to share a meal, I pray you bless that time and that fellowship. Lord, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.